Justin.
Well, it is another week. It's another Wednesday, and it falls right in between the Sundays. And this is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, before we get into anything.
Breaking news. Alert.
Some big things have happened since the last time we were on air.
You do not have a beard anymore.
I do not.
And I am offended.
I do not have a beard, but what I noticed on Sunday was you also, my friend.
I do not have a beard.
And you shaved.
And the funny thing is we didn't talk to each other.
And, when we were sitting there, Granna, my mother-in-law, leaned over and went, did y'all talk to each other? Is that, did he shave because you shaved?
I had a beard.
Right.
But
right.
It was not anything to the degree of what your beard was.
Mine was a commitment
for
a long time.
Yours was a project. You had actually
work to that.
You had spent a time
money.
And research and money into a well-shaped beard. I just had not shaved
gone.
For a while.
Yeah. It's gone.
I need to know what has happened.
So what happened, I can go, and my wife would say, you're so obsessed, you read blogs about beards. Yeah, I do. So be it. I'm not obsessed, but I do read a lot about
of
things.
Right.
And so, anytime I have when you grow a beard for that long, it was about 8 months, 9 months of growth.
Right.
You don't just all of a sudden go, I'm going to shave this off. That would be crazy. Why would you do
Silly.
That?
Silly.
And so I took some time, well thought out time of what I wanted to do.
Prayer, fasting,
not
reflection.
Pray that. That's not one thing I prayed
about. Okay, good.
But I did, I have some things coming up in the next few months, video projects and speaking engagements. And I just felt like I probably need to, it shouldn't be a distraction, but if that were a distraction,
you're gonna dial it down.
I need to dial that back. I'm speaking at a couple pregnancy center banquets, not our pregnancy center, but
cool.
in around Tennessee, and then I have a video thing coming up at a conference next week, and just thought, okay, now's the time. And so the interesting thing was I did that last Thursday night,
right.
And then Friday I go into work and they call the cops because that, no, I'm kidding. Friday I go into work and I get a call from WATE Channel 6.
Right.
And they say, we would love to sit down and do an interview with you. And I thought, oh, you heard that I shaved. You want to do, no, that's not
I'm now presentable.
That's not what you, and so.
I've always had something to say, but I'm now visually presentable.
Yeah. And so it really worked out because I was able to do that interview and be good.
Well, I wondered because I had actually read recently that, Bryce Harper, this famous baseball player, if not the highest paid baseball player.
Yeah, probably, I would say.
Very close up there, plays for the Phillies now. Whereas, he's made all these statements over the years, with his fashion and more notably with his hair and his beard.
He's got good hair.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he actually shaved his beard
recently. I did not see that, really.
It's very similar to yours in that it's more kind of stubbled now than clean shaven. But his statement was this. He said, long hair, short beard. Short hair, long beard.
Interesting.
And his hair now
is
long and flowing.
Yeah.
And so I would like to ask you, should I be preparing myself for a long-haired Andrew
I don't know.
Wood?
Now that you say that, no, you should not prepare yourself for that. No,
ask me
not at all.
This bald man.
Yeah, should I prepare for long hair, Jason?
I would just run it off on the few places that I could grow hair. I will just grow it as long as
it would
possible.
Be like John Adams. Have you have you seen the documentary on John Adams?
I don't know if I have.
From back in the day.
Yeah.
And that he had long hair, but it was just like, hey, we're just gonna go with it.
Nice.
Wherever it'll grow, we'll just let it go.
I love it, man.
And so a lot of changes, a lot of things happened that
for all those people that thought they were going to be tuning in to major actual world changes, societal changes, those things happened also. But we want to give our initial attention.
I think it's important that we start with the most important stuff,
sure.
which is my.
So this article comes out. In fact, a couple articles came out this week,
been...
and we're going to talk a bit about it. Introduce this piece that
we'll start with the one where it appears like there are some folks around the country that for whatever reason, maybe they had bad experiences in church growing up. They had, they're looking for community and and I hesitate to say movement because it's very small, in terms of numbers, but they're wanting to have church, pretty much without Jesus.
Right. There's an article that was put out in the Atlantic fairly recently, and it talks about basically these folks that have tried to start a church, but they're clearly starting a church without God. And they actually talk about how it worked for a while, but yeah. Then it unpacks into all kinds of kind of insight into our society and our culture and this generation and the things that they were drawn to, and yet ultimately why it didn't really, really last. And so, crazy thought to think that there's people that are quite literally joining together to be a part of what they would truly call a church, but there's literally no God involved.
Yeah, they get
in
together.
It.
They sing pop songs.
Right.
They have motivational speakers.
Absolutely.
They have snacks and coffee.
Yes.
But what they found.
Time of fellowship.
What they found.
It's even
was,
called Sunday. One particular group is called Sunday Assembly, a community started in Great Britain in 2013 that spread quickly across the Atlantic to this particular lady they're interviewing to her doorstep.
Yeah, and what they found was they really struggled in the financial department because they were like, you know, if we start asking for money, people don't trust that. And here's the thing, and this goes into the next article too, and that's what we're going to really focus on throughout the show, is there's a reason why a setting like that's not going to work.
Right.
There isn't a commitment. There isn't a covenant. There isn't an overarching theme that brings you together except for, hey, I just want to get together with other folks. And what they found was that it got more and more difficult to find speakers. It got more and more difficult to find volunteers. Well, why? Because there's no pressing. I'm getting up on Sunday. I feel like I need to go be with my people. It's, hey, this is something that we can do. And so that plays into the latest Wall Street Journal poll that said my generation, the millennial generation coming in, is less religious, less patriotic, and having less babies
right.
than the generation before.
Yes, there was an article that was put out. Who was that put that out? It was Fox News actually put out. Yeah, and it talks about, just as you said, millennials care less about patriotism, religion, and family than previous generations, this study says. It says they still value, or the values that Americans say define the national character are changing as younger generations rate patriotism, religion, and having children as less important to them than did young people two decades ago. It talks about that still hard work remains atop the list, but the shares of Americans listing the other three values have fallen substantially. And so you just begin to say, what is changing and why is it changing?
Well, and it's interesting because even if you look at the patriotism part, among people 55 and older, nearly 80% say patriotism was very important. That's across both party lines. So that's just saying you're over 55, nearly 80% say patriotism is important. You look at the ages of those between 18 and 38, that's the millennial generation and older members of Gen Z, just 42%. That's a pretty big decline.
Right.
42% say that patriotism is important. And so, and you look at the same things with religion, same thing with having babies. And so as we look at this, I do think we as the church have to go, okay, what, not necessarily the patriotism part, but that certainly plays a role. Is it okay to believe and to love the country that you live in, to say, hey, I love this place. I love the United States of America. And not even getting political in that, just saying, hey, it's okay right. to be patriotic. And then why are we seeing people walk away from the church? I have my opinion of,
sure.
of my own generation. I believe that we are selfish. We've been elevated to a inappropriate level in terms of our parents kind of elevated us and everything revolved around us, and the internet, everything's at our fingertips. We have everything. You don't have to necessarily work as hard to get certain things, and I think that goes to a place of idolatry. If it's about right. us, I don't need religion. I don't need Jesus.
I don't need family.
I don't need family. Yeah. I don't need this country. We should be, there are no borders in this world. We should just be able to go wherever we want to go. So we don't even have to identify that part of it. And then as far as the babies go, that's going to hold me back.
Right.
And in a little bit, I want to look at some numbers from 1960 to today at the average household and the amount of kids. And it's really interesting to see the decline of families having children.
Right. So you might say, what are these two articles? How do these connect? In fact, they actually do really closely connect,
right,
and even play off each other to a degree. But I think what you're seeing in the purpose of today's discussion is, all right, if there are notable changes that are happening in the lives of people, in the hearts of people, in their values, in you know, what they're prioritizing, if that is true, one, we have to figure out, okay, is there anything deeper behind this, or we may not always know every detail, right, and insight behind it, but we can speculate on many, and I think we could probably even come to a conclusion on several things. But then also, we don't just look at it and be like, okay, well, this generation, and when we say this generation, again, this is not, even this study here isn't completely specific.
Overlaps.
Yeah, you've got overlaps of multiple quote unquote generations. So I'm just talking about this kind of group of generations that we're within. You say, okay, let's not just say, well, I can't believe them. They don't want to commit to anything, or they're all selfish. You know, we're not looking to generalize people. We're looking to understand them,
right,
so that the gospel can continue to advance among people. And in the same way that a missionary would move into a foreign country and they would immerse themselves in society and immerse themselves into the culture and to better understand why these people have these certain traditions and understand why they have certain values. You don't do it just so you can say, wow, that's really weird. You do it so you can better understand them, and hopefully you can begin to speak the things of the gospel into places in their lives where maybe they're really showing in some of these other expressions that they desperately need it.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, even with wanting to have church without Jesus, or wanting to have a community without necessarily quote unquote church, there's a reason why they're searching for that.
Absolutely.
And longing for that.
Correct.
And wanting that and desiring that. And so context always matters. This isn't completely brand new. You know, back in the day, years and years and years ago, New England was kind of the birthplace of revival.
Right.
And now you go to the New England states and it's hard to find a church.
Correct.
And so there was something that occurred there. Now, granted, a lot of people left there and went and planted churches across the country and things like,
right,
that. But this is a process or a problem, if you want to say, that gospel people have been dealing with for a long time. Like, what is going on? What is culture doing to pull people away? What are we doing as the church? Are we looking like the church, or are we looking more like culture?
Right.
Would some even argue that some of our churches look like the church that's meeting that doesn't have Jesus?
Right. When we come back, we'll try to look at these three things: patriotism, family, and religion. And we'll try to dissect it, and then we'll begin to try to step back into it. We'll be back.
That is good stuff.
That is a jam.
That is one of the greatest country groups ever. That's Alabama.
Wow.
It's good.
Wow.
It's good. It was always interesting to me when Alabama would sing songs about Tennessee. They sang Tennessee Christmas.
Yep.
And I always thought, is that weird for you?
Yeah.
You're called Alabama.
Right.
And we don't like you.
Yeah.
You don't like us.
Yeah. And yet
you're singing a song about Tennessee Christmas.
Well, I spent several years in Nashville, and down the street was a home of one of the Oak Ridge boys.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
why don't you live in Oak Ridge?
Duh.
It's pretty simple.
So before we dig back into this, there was one other thing I need to note. In addition to your beard being absent, you've replaced, you've lost something, but you've gained a tie.
I did.
Did you have a meeting today?
No, you know, it's interesting. I had somebody at work this week. I wore a tie on Monday as well.
Wow.
And they said, oh, do you have a meeting today? And I said, you know, before, she's fairly new to the staff, I said, there was a time where I wore a tie every day to work.
Wow.
And now I've clearly made that not a habit. And now when I wear one, they're like, oh, did somebody die? Is that, you're going to do a funeral today?
I'm sorry. Sorry for your loss.
Like I just put one on.
You're looking sharp.
I have a lot of ties.
You're looking sharp for you.
Right. I mean, if the bar, we can set it low.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. For radio, look really good.
You look fantastic. So we continue on with this discussion this afternoon about, some interesting articles that have been put out, one in the Atlantic, one in Fox News. I'm sure there's all kinds of other discussion happening in blogs and
Wall Street Journal, Al Mohler's talked about it this week. All kinds of folks have talked about these topics.
I'm sure a majority of those folks are waiting to listen to our show before they.
I really think it's kind of unfair they stepped into it first.
Yeah.
They should have waited.
They're like, we're going to wait and see what Jason and Andrew have to say, and then we'll step in. You know.
And then they tuned in and were like, oh, they're talking about beards. Okay,
fair enough. Now, but so three categories that are probably defined by at least one of these articles that talks about religion. Mm-hmm. There's a change in religious values. That's not necessarily a surprise.
Right.
But I think some of the expressions of people's longing to still be connected to certain things that have been associated with religion and faith is interesting. I think that is a surprise. We're going to talk again about patriotism. We'll talk about family. But let's start with that religious piece.
Yeah.
So crazy. Yeah. I mean, quite literally, churches, quote unquote, churches are starting. We would identify that not as a church.
We believe that the church.
Yeah. But these gatherings of people, Sunday assemblies, and as you described, I mean, they truly are. There's a quote unquote sermon. There's singing together. There is a fellowship. There's snacks. There's all this stuff. And so we are seeing that those things are starting. Unfortunate for them, those things are not succeeding because of, the challenge that comes with motivating volunteers and earning funds or gaining funds and all that other stuff when you don't really have this central motivation that's more than I think the things that are really drawing them initially. Would you say it's just community?
Yeah, I think it's just community. I think we are, and we've heard this said multiple times by people far smarter than us, that where we are currently in 2019, we are the most connected we've ever been, while also being the most disconnected we've ever been. And so we have everything at our fingertips. We have all the social media. We have all these so-called friends. But the reality is we're very disconnected. And there's a great book that deals with this by Timothy Carney called Alienated America, Why Some Places Are Kind of Falling Apart and Breaking Down. And it deals with a lot of this. Community, if you go back to the 50s, you had Rotary Club, and you had bowling leagues. Yeah. There was
4-H, whatever. I mean, we still have a lot.
And part of that was because, you weren't connecting with people online. You were actually connecting with people.
Yep.
And there's another book that was written about that called Bowling Alone, because it was looking at using kind of the bowling leagues as a way of saying, okay, now that those things are gone, now you have people that are just lonely.
Right.
And so now you have a very lonely generation. And so they're seeking, they probably wouldn't say it the way we're saying it, but there's something inside of them that is longing for relationship, deeper than just, hey, how was your day this week?
Well, I mean, you know, I've talked about it even in my own life, and I feel like to a certain degree, when we first moved back to Knoxville, almost 8 years ago now, I actually, for a season, said I'm one of the most popular lonely people around.
Right.
Meaning, you're doing all kinds of lunches with folks and you've got the social media, connections, and you've got, other platforms and speaking events and things of that sort. And yet we just hadn't really gotten back. It had been 7+ years for us. And so for us, we really needed to kind of reinvest into relationships and feel connected. And so I think that's certainly true. It's definitely interesting. Like for us, even we have three boys, as you all know, and they all play sports. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've learned, this is real, I don't think it speaks to this. We've learned, especially on some of these, like, overnighters or things of that sort. We are truly seeing, in many cases, the parents are more excited about it than the children.
Right.
And I think it speaks towards, because they, They've created relationships. Mm-hmm. They enjoy being around other people. They want someone to know them. They want to know someone else. And so this is what people have been drawn to. And certainly the church, we look at Acts chapter 2, where we gather together, we share possessions, we pray together, all these things. The togetherness of it is very appealing to some people. Mm-hmm. But what they don't want to do is to embrace the Christ part of it, which calls us to right. take up our cross, yep. which calls us to repent of our sin, which calls us to live counterculturally. And so there's this picking and choosing of faith. And while we might kind of, I don't want to say mock, but while we would kind of chuckle here about people creating these Sunday assemblies for the sake of community,
right.
let's not be so naive to think that there are many people that are in our, especially in our Southern culture, our Southern Christian culture, yeah. that they have found some certain connectivity to the church, but they very well may not quite, and our hope is that they're moving that direction, but they may not have a connectivity to the things of faith.
Well, and the concerning part for me is when we see this as the church, when we read these articles and we go, okay, the millennial generation, the younger generation coming up is leaving the church or has feel like they've been hurt by the church, so they're looking for other ways to find community. Some can look at that and go, okay, we need to make our Sunday morning gathering more hip and more fun and right. more exciting, and maybe not be so cross resurrection right. like maybe not do a series called Blemish,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So those are
maybe not study through the book of Malachi right. like we're right. currently doing.
And so so that's a concern of mine is we try to correct, and when we do, yeah. we overcorrect.
Yeah.
And that's why they're leaving.
Right.
That's why they're looking for it somewhere else, because they want a deeper understanding of Scripture. Well, so what I would say is our answer shouldn't be let's try to be more like the world. We should show them when they walk into our place of worship that it is it is nothing like the world.
Right. Well, I do think, and you know, it's probably not quite like it was. I mean, I do remember growing up and neighbors would hang out on the front porch
right.
and spend, you know, years upon years upon years upon years of doing life together.
Yeah, y'all would churn butter and
yeah,
things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure we would make denim skirts.
Yeah,
and some,
yeah,
okay, we didn't
times.
Do any of that. You know, but I do think, though, that it probably feels like community is a little bit more cyclical now, or maybe I should say seasonal, mm-hmm. in that it's like, yeah, we got to know all those people and then our kids went and got on another team. Or, yeah, you know, we were a part of the gym, but you know, I just can't work out
right.
anymore. And well, you know, I'd certainly love the car club, but I mean, I can just only, you know, I can only see so many Porsches or whatever that may be. And so it feels a little bit like people's community has been centered around things that are a little bit more fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more seasonal. And so this is what we're going to call people to, is that community exists, but it's going to exist around the person of Jesus.
Yep.
And we're going to come on a Sunday gathering or midweek gathering to point people towards Christ, but also to speak about Christ to one another. So
yep.
we'll talk more about it when we come back.
I kind of feel like that. And let's be honest, in 2019,
everyone is watching you.
They are watching you. They're listening to you. They're recording you.
Correct.
All of those things.
Why we've chosen to do the radio show. We're like, listen.
If you're gonna
try to figure out everything we've got, we're just gonna save you some time.
That's right.
We're gonna talk about beards. We're gonna talk about ties.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about social issues.
Yep.
We're gonna talk about the Bible. We're gonna talk about all kinds of stuff. And so you don't have to go and hack into our phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just turn in, just tune in.
Here's the thing. The other day when the old app kind of went nuts and everybody was making themselves look old. You
yes.
remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody's like, y'all better stop. It's Russia and they're taking all of your stuff and Russia's coming after you. And I was like, look, okay. If you have, and maybe that's true.
I had not heard that.
Maybe
that
that's
was a
true.
Real theory.
That was a real thing. Go,
man.
Go search it. And maybe that's true. But here's the thing. If you are on social media of any kind, They already have your picture. They already have all of that. And so,
I'm now, several weeks in. You're
with no social media.
I've still got Instagram.
Oh, Instagram, yes.
But I'm out on Facebook and out on Twitter. And,
and you're okay?
It's crazy.
No withdrawals?
Life-giving.
That's good. Awesome. Well, congratulations.
But then again, last week I did talk about having a acute stress event. And so,
it's true.
I do feel quite confident that I can say that my absence of social media did nothing to bring that on.
It might have brought it on quicker.
Yeah.
If you just stayed on it. Yeah.
That's
and
correct.
So now that we talked about religion, we talked about patriotism in past shows, and so I would encourage you to go back and you can kind of hear our thoughts on that. But we wanted to skip over and look at
and on the 4th of July coming up, we'll sing anthem again.
We do all of that.
We love this country. Yeah.
I have two American flags hanging in my office.
Wow.
One with a bull skull right on top of it. So look,
wow.
Nobody better question my patriotism. But as we look at having children, that's another aspect of the studies that have come out this week
is telling.
Very much a difference in generations, a difference in times. And so we have folks now, and listen, I know that there's folks listening that are like, we've tried to have children and can't, or you're single and you want children, but you're not able to at this moment. Like, we're not talking about that.
And let us even add to that and to say, we are so sorry.
Yes,
absolutely. If you're battling with fertility issues and this can be a gut-wrenchingly difficult conversation for some, we are not speaking to you. We're speaking about those who are just consciously choosing to either stay away from marriage or consciously choosing to stay away from children for varying reasons.
Yeah, and we...
And we shouldn't completely paint all of that. There's some that we even see biblically that some are called to singleness. And not only that, that's like, oh, wow. I mean, that is something to be celebrated. Yeah. People are called to singleness. But then we also see some that are simply just choosing to kind of remain on the market.
Right.
Because they enjoy the freedoms of that. They don't want to step into commitment. And then also some that are choosing to say, we never ever want to have kids, or we're going to have kids at a really, really late age. And again, we're not here to condemn. We're more of just trying to assess why is that.
Yeah, because it is important for the church to understand what's going on there. Why back generations ago did people have six and seven kids? Well, part of that was because of the Bible said reproduce. Also, there was because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
And there was no birth control at the time. And another part was, hey, we need the help on
the
farm. We need people to help us to work the fields and to do those things. So there's a lot of reasons for that. But if we just go back to 1960, the average family household had 2.33 kids. Now you may say, well, how did they have the 0.33? It's just an average. So 2.33 kids in an average household. Let's see, in 2000, it looks to me in 2002, or 2005, we got, even 2007, we went the lowest we've ever been, or since 1960, 1.81, and now in 2018, we're at 1.9 children. So I have four, you have three, so we're above
average. We're single-handedly bringing
the Wood family, I'll just say. My brother has four, my other brother has six, like, we
own a minivan?
We're doing,
not even
I don't own a minivan, watch yourself.
Sorry.
You better watch yourself.
I will step out and wash my mouth.
Take that back.
You do not have a minivan. You have a 15-12 passenger.
That's right. I have a church van.
You have a church van.
Yeah.
And so, yes. So you're doing your part.
We're doing our part. But it is interesting as we see this. So anytime I hear this conversation, when I hear people say, we are choosing not to have children, or we're choosing to put off marriage, or we're choosing to do this, or we're going to wait till we can afford them, we're going to wait till we're really have foundation in our career path, whatever that is, it's always interesting to me to have that discussion. And so what is the church's response to that? Right. Now we know that at Shoreline, the nursery's full. The kids ministry is full. And so it's to some degree.
Yeah, if you're listening and you'd like to serve in the children's ministry.
If you want to volunteer,
we will need to vet you heavily. Let me be very clear.
Absolutely.
But you need to be a partner of Shoreline Church, but still we really.
But after that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so, and it's interesting because some of us may look in our context of where we live or in our church and go, it doesn't seem like folks are not having children.
Right.
But if you kind of pull back and look across the country, that, you know, folks in New York aren't having a lot of children. Yeah. Folks in certain parts of the country aren't. And so how does the church respond when we're looking at this? And then you can go even deeper. Why is it important from a secular level, from a governmental level, from a society cannot sustain itself if people stop reproducing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And I do think, again, you know, we don't want to paint everything with just one big broad brush. I mean, I think of, you know, someone who may have grown up in a certain community. Let's say they grew up in New York City, I used the example, and they want to be close to their family. They also have a steady job in New York, but that steady job is only going to pay X amount of money, and their situation and circumstances are only going to allow certain things. And some people would say, you know, the wisest choice is that we can only provide for one child, you know, mm-hmm. or, I mean, anything. We don't want to try to pull three kids on public transit. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
I get that there are unique situations here, but I do think at times some of the conversations that may be a little bit more concerning to me mm-hmm. are the ones of, you know, we just really want to see the world before we ever have kids. And, you know, Carrie and I chose to have some of those years. But it wasn't 15 years and it wasn't forever. It was one of those things that you just have to think, what is that? What is that? And again, I don't want to even necessarily say that it's exclusively in every person's situation, some selfishness or some egocentrism, you know, but more, it's something to at least note, you know, that okay, maybe we have a more mobile generation. Maybe we have a generation who is functioning out of a place of maybe some abandonment. I think that's a good possibility. You've got a generation where kids have been abandoned, and so, you know, they never saw dad, and so they think I don't have a positive feeling associated with father-son relationship, and so I'm not going to do that to someone else. You know, I mean, you've got a thousand different dynamics in it. I think what we begin to draw out of it, though, is this. We need to always fight for the value of life. Mm-hmm. And so we also need to fight for the idea that caring for and loving and serving people beyond ourselves is an admirable, notable, and healthy thing to exist in society as a whole. And so, again, when we begin to see anything, whatever indicator that may be pointing towards people simply saying, I care about me, I care about my needs, mm-hmm. my desires, what I want to do exclusively, that is where we find ourselves really running into trouble, because it's not so much then just about how many kids are running around here.
Yep.
No, you're then talking about end of life issues.
Yep.
You're talking about abortion. You're talking about poverty. You're talking about how we handle the homelessness situation. I mean, it again becomes this thing that says, if it's not about me, it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. And that's problematic.
Well, and I'll say just from my, perspective. When we had children, it made me a better man. It made me better in every way. Now sometimes I act out and do things that I shouldn't do because of that. But there's so many benefits to the church, to the faith, to society, to community in doing that. And so I would simply say, as we're looking at this, and if you find yourself in the generation that's having less children and not getting married and those type things, at least look into it and go, why is that? Why is that for me? Why did I make that decision? What does that look like for me? What does that look like for our future? If you're a married couple and you're having that discussion now, these are just important questions to ask each other. If you're dating somebody, these are important questions
and
to be asking and talking with each other.
And you may come to the end of the you know, reflection and say, hey, I don't sense anything that's a real check. As I look at the scripture, I don't see anything that doesn't align with that. But there also might be a possibility that you do.
Yep.
And that's why we have to examine our hearts.
Yep. We'll be back. Hammer. And we're back. Sorry, I was looking at my phone, texting, and I was texting somebody, and autocorrect is the worst thing. I'll just say that. And so I'm not going to respond to correct what I just sent, and they're going to really wonder.
What in the world is
happening? Why are you calling some people smart and not? Because I meant to say salary, and it changed to smart.
Yeah.
And so there was looking at differences of salary and non-salary, and now it looks as if I wrote smart and non-smart.
That's right. I like
so
that.
So that's a great text that I'm going to have to explain now when I get to work.
I want to publicly applaud you for one thing, and it is that when you text me, you do use grammar, correct grammar.
Yeah, I try to.
You use punctuation.
Yeah.
And I would also like to use this opportunity to publicly call out a number of my friends who choose to use none of those things.
Oh, that's frustrating.
It's hard.
That is
it's
frustrating.
Hard. Some of my best friends.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll still be friends.
I have family members that post on Facebook paragraphs with
no
punctuation.
No
at
punctuation.
All.
There.
No capitalization. Some words are misspelled. And I'm like,
what are we doing here?
I'm like, that is a complete run-on.
It is the biggest run-on sentence
I can't
ever.
It's just, and I'm like, the whole world's seeing that.
Right.
Like, it's not even that big of a, an important of a
Does
point
Does that
you're
bother
making.
You more, or would you say what bothers you more is the improper use of two and two, there and there?
Yeah. Yeah, things. The your and your.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That one bugs me.
I usually find those things to be somewhat synonymous.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're the run on guy, you very well may also be the two and two guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. And so.
And our listeners have jumped from 18 to 9.
That's right.
Right now.
Those guys.
They are hurting my
those
feelings.
Guys. And what that means is now, if you text anybody that listens to this and you make a mistake, they are going to come down
absolutely
very hard on you.
I'm okay with that. I'm willing to accept
that. They should.
Yeah.
And we should
we will
be
raise
okay
the
with
bar
that.
Together.
That's called accountability.
That's it. We will raise
Thank
the bar
you.
Together.
Thank you for pointing out.
So speaking of accountability, the Vols.
Yeah, man. Come on. Saturday.
This
Saturday. It's here.
We got a slight bit of a teaser last weekend with the Florida-Miami game. I watched it.
Yeah.
I really wanted Florida to lose.
Yep.
Maybe I'm supposed to have some SEC allegiance.
Boo,
I do
whatever.
Not.
I don't either.
And so I wanted Miami to win. They did not. But here we are playing the juggernaut, Georgia State, this weekend.
Amen.
And do you have a score prediction for us?
I'm not good at score predictions. I would say I'd say we win by 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
So whatever that works out to, but that's 21 points. So we at least get that. But
do you know on like some of these like local radio shows, sports talk, things of that sort, that they will have a certain like drawing, you know, if you guess the score correctly, then you get to put your name into a drawing and you could win a Ford truck or something.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice.
I am going to announce today.
Okay.
That I'm going to give a score prediction.
Okay.
And if I get the score correct, you will be buying me a new truck.
Okay. Okay.
How do you feel about it?
I don't feel good about that. I would, I'll do what?
41-7.
41-7. That's what you're, I think, I mean, if
Georgia State. No, I'm just saying. Fall.
You're terrible. If it's not something like that, I think my spirit's going to be.
Yeah, a little
hurt.
Yeah.
And so we've had some, not so good news for some players and then some really good news last night with the transfer from Michigan that finally came through. And so he can play Saturday. And he's a big get, Aubrey Solomon. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But here's the thing.
Are you positioning your heart? Are you trying to like posture yourself?
I haven't even listened to any sports.
Okay. So I'm trying to posture myself already. Like, please don't, Jason, don't go down this road.
No.
Like, don't get so amped up about it. So then you feel devastated on Saturday night. I'm trying to like, I truly am trying to protect my
heart.
Here's
what I did last year.
Give it to me.
Okay. So I tried to do that. And then I found myself, no matter what time the game was on, listening to fifth quarter shows. If it was during the day.
That's not helpful.
If it was
all.
During the day, I would go like, the yard doesn't need mowing, but I'm going to go ride around on the mower so I can listen to what they're saying after the game.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
Win
that's,
or lose.
That's not helpful.
It's not healthy. Not going to do that this year.
Let me tell you what is healthy. Joining us every Wednesday afternoon.
That's right.
Between Sundays. We'll see you next week.
That's right.